It's great to have you worshiping with Western Hills Church of Christ online today. We pray that you're going to be encouraged and blessed and challenged by God's message. Please pause and take a moment to fill out our Sunday check-in. It's a way of just saying, hey, I'm participating in this. It also gives you an opportunity to share any prayer concerns or any other important information with us that you'd like to share. You know, Western Hills Church is committed to helping people discover and follow Jesus. And we want to help people find hope and build new lives in Christ, just as we have found. And so if you're interested in any of our life groups or our ministries at the church and want to get involved, just indicate that in your Sunday check-in, or you can email us or even give us a call. Now, before we get into today's message, I want to invite you to sing along with some great worship songs that we do each week, different songs, and they're on the YouTube playlist just below this screen. And while you're paused, you might also want to worship by giving. You can send offerings by mail or use the online giving from this website. It's simple and easy. It's what I do, and it's safe. So I want to encourage you to give that a try. All the offerings go to the ministries and missions of the Western Hills Church. One of the other things we do in our worship every Lord's Day, just as they did in the New Testament, is that we observe the Lord's Supper. We partake of communion. This is a memorial of Jesus. The bread reminds us that Jesus gave his body so that we might live for us. And then he shed his blood. The juice reminds us he shed his blood so that our sins could be atoned for and forgiven. Jesus endured so much for us. And this weekly reminder helps us remain steadfast in our love for him and renew our commitment to following him day by day. So if you want to partake, you can serve yourself the bread and juice when you pause, and you can do it right home. Christians are doing it all around the world today. We'll be doing it at the church today, and you can participate in that. And then when you're finished with the singing and giving and communion, just return to this video for the message from God's Word about our 2020 Survival Toolbox. Your lungs burn. Your legs are feeling like jelly. Your ankles and knees are aching with every step, every pound of the pavement. Your energy supply is totally gone. Your oxygen levels are depleted. Fatigue overwhelms you. And truth is, you just want to quit. You've hit the proverbial wall. And you feel like you just can't go any further. And then suddenly something kicks in. It's mind over matter, sheer will over sanity. But you won't give up. You won't give up. You keep going. You believe that you're capable, even though your body is screaming, stop, stop. But with new energy, somewhere from deep inside, you keep going. Most of us call that getting our second wind. Marathon runners sometimes refer to it as runner's high. Many explanations are suggested for this phenomenon. Some researchers say that it's caused by the body's increased endorphins. While others say it's determination. Not everyone experiences it, but experts agree that it is a real occurrence. People experience it. Now, I was a sprinter when I was a young man, and there's no time for getting your second wind in a sprint because it's just full speed from start to finish in a matter of seconds. But I do run. I jog several miles each week. I've never really been an intentional distance runner. I've had no desire to compete. I've never done a marathon, never run in a 5K even. So I've not experienced getting my second wind while running. But I have experienced that in other ways, have you? We use this term, getting your second wind, in a metaphorical way to describe a new strength or energy to continue something that takes a great deal of effort. It's that Rocky Balboa thing when he looks like he's down for the count, but somehow he musters the strength to get back up and he keeps fighting. Well, our 2020 Survival Toolbox certainly must include endurance. Man, We need endurance for these times. Some of you are reaching the end of your patience, or maybe the end of your sanity. Some are giving in to temptation throughout all the distresses of these times. Some are giving in to doubt and bitterness and fear and desperation and compromise. Some are looking for answers in all the wrong places. Perhaps all your bars are gone. Your battery is just low. There's no lives left in your gaming, whatever. You've had all you can take. There's nothing left in the tank. You're ready to just give up. I mean, why try anymore? Rick Russell described it this way. In 2020, we thought maybe we signed up for a marathon, but when we were at that 26-mile finish line, chugging water and trying to cool down, we're told we still have to swim 2.4 miles, and then we have to bike another 112 miles. And it's not just the coronavirus and all the social distancing and all this challenge of online schooling and racism and a divided nation. For some of you, it's your job or your marriage or your rebellious children. For others, it's relentless temptation that is eating away at you, lack of self-control, spiritual emptiness, mental health, physical health, are really taking some hard blows right now. Oh, how we need to catch our second wind. We need endurance. My brother is a preacher in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And they, of course, have been through all the ordeals that we've all endured in 2020. But also during this time, for 8 months, he was caring for my mother as her health declined with dementia and other physical ailments. And how difficult it became for all the personal care that he had to give, feeding her, bathing her, toileting her, helping her walk across a room even. He was getting only 2 hours of sleep a night, and he was totally spent. Well, we were finally able to get her into the Mount Healthy Christian Village here in Cincinnati, and 17 days later, she went to heaven. Well, my brother, of course, returned to Cincinnati for the funeral. It's a 16-hour drive one way. That's exhausting. And so then we had to take care of all the details and did the funeral. And then, exhausted and grieving, he returned home to Lake Charles, Louisiana. And just a couple weeks later, Hurricane Laura made a direct hit on their city. My brother and his family had to evacuate. They went to Missouri, where his daughter lives, and stayed there a couple days. But this past Monday, he returned to Lake Charles, and it appears nothing in that city, nothing escaped some level of damage, some way worse than others. But thankfully, his house and his church building were only had a little bit of damage, but there's no power. I think the water system got damaged, and so there was no water. So many people had great cleanup and repairs, many people in his church, many people in the community. So he's overwhelmed. He's trying to help. The church is trying to help lots of different people recover. There's some big disaster. It's a disaster area. How much more can a person take? I feel for my brother. I told him, though, that in September, he can probably expect 10-foot snow. You know, they don't get snow there. Eugene Peterson's book title really challenges me. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I wonder, does that describe your life? A long obedience in the same direction. As you can imagine, since my mom's passing a few weeks ago, I have reflected a lot on actually both my parents' lives, and they lived that long obedience in the same direction. That really characterized them. Their faithfulness made the best life for them, for the family, and for many, many, many other people, thousands of people that they impacted in the process. But that kind of faithfulness and that kind of endurance really doesn't come easily. And 2020, it's testing our resolve. And God would like to give us a valuable tool today. So will you open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, we're going to look at the first three verses. Let's read these challenging and inspiring words that are familiar to a number of you, but here's what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word for race that's used here is agana, and it's a word from which we get the English word agony. Agony. And life is full of that. Life is not easy, is it? And so what can we learn from this passage about enduring? What can stimulate us? What is the way to endure? Well, first of all, it's cloud-based endurance. Cloud-based endurance has nothing to do with the internet, of course, but it is about a network of people. Hebrews 12:1 says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you would never number your letters. If you sent a letter to some friends or family, you would never number your letters with chapters and verses. And this letter that's written to the Hebrews was not written with chapters and verses all penciled in. That now we have in our Bibles for referencing passages. That word, therefore, in verse 1 is a transition word. It ties back to what was said in chapter 11 about the great faith chapter. It's just all, he's continuing the thought. Where he's talking about Noah and Abraham, Sarah and Moses, Rahab, Gideon, and numerous men and women and their families. They're all part of this cloud, part of this collection of people who lived and endured by faith. Now, even if that's true, even if we're reminded of these people, what good is that? What does that help? How does that help us with endurance? We can't see these folks. We don't know these folks. We can't have a conversation with them. Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile record back in 1954. Sports writers and prognosticators had previously said it just couldn't be done. Physically impossible, they reasoned. But then Bannister broke that 4-minute barrier, completing the mile in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. Then other runners, of course, realized, hey, it can be done. He did it. And they attacked the goal with newfound resolve. Actually, Bannister only held that new record for 46 days before someone else bested his time. Now, not only are sub-4-minute miles common, there have been 18 new records, and the current record is 3 minutes and 43 seconds. It can be done. And though his record has been eclipsed, Bannister inspired a whole new generation of runners and accomplishment. And similarly, the writer of Hebrews uses the faithful endurance of the ancients to motivate his audience to endure. This collection, this cloud, this mass of endurers are testimonies. They're testimonies. They're witnesses that it can be done. Other scripture authors have done the same thing. James chapter 5, verse 10 says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and perseverance or patience, take the prophets. They endured faithfully, didn't they? And they inspire us. The next verse, James 5:10, he writes, you've heard of the endurance of Job. See, that's one of the great blessings of reading our Bible narratives. We're confronted with example after example after example of individuals who were faithful in their endurance, and that inspires us, it motivates us, it prompts us. And these are not larger-than-life individuals. They're men and women just like us. But they endured by faith. So our endurance can be cloud-based, if you will, but also load-lightened endurance. Imagine trying to run carrying concrete blocks. Can you imagine that? I worked for a construction crew one summer, And 1,000 concrete blocks was delivered before we arrived at the work site one morning. And unfortunately, they were all stacked right in the middle of where we needed to work. They were in the way. They were in the wrong place. They had to be moved. And so while the rest of the construction crew did other jobs around, the boss gave me the job of moving all those blocks from here to there. It didn't have to go very far, but I had to move them from here to there. And it was incredible. I went through several pairs of gloves, and still my hands were raw and blistered. I have never been so physically tired from labor than the day I had to move those blocks. I can't even imagine trying to run carrying concrete blocks. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. Have you seen the way prisoners being transferred are chained in leg irons so that they can't get a full stride and run and flee? You know, they have to kind of shuffle along. If we want to endure, we must shed the weights and free ourselves from the entanglements that hinder us from running. And he's talking about spiritually running. Look at verse 1 again, where he says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Now, as I was reading these words, it's not running imagery, but it is racing. I thought about the Olympic swimmers who shave seconds off their times by shaving their heads and even their bodies. They wear sleek swimsuits and tuck their bodies in streamlined postures, anything to lose drag, and that will then increase speed and endurance. It'll help them race, get rid of the load, the drag. And some of you say, "Yeah, Dan, I get all that, but you know, I can't free myself from MS or from arthritis or a bad heart or a failing kidney. I can't make the coronavirus go away. I can't control the social distancing policies that hinder me. I can't change the color of my skin, nor do I want to. And I can't change racism in someone else's heart. And I can't reverse the divorce that I didn't even want. I can't make my children make wise decisions." No, you can't do those things. But you can choose how you respond to each of those situations. You don't have to carry those concrete blocks. You can leave them with the Lord. What the Hebrew writer is addressing is spiritual entanglements and the encumbrance of sin. These we can unload by the grace of Jesus Christ and His help and His Spirit. We don't have to carry around guilt. We don't have to carry a grudge. We don't have to cave in to temptations. We can walk away. We can change our environments and stay away from bad influence, and we can fill our hearts and minds with good. We, in difficult times, we can worship in spite of what's going on. We can serve. We have scripture, prayer, good fellowship. We can invest in those things to build us up, to give us power. And you can fast. You can fast from social media or alcohol or movies or politics. Let go. Let go of your pride. Let go of your need to control. Let go of your worries and your agendas. It's so freeing just to let it all go and to run after Jesus. So many Christians, I think, are trying to run the Christian race by merit instead of by faith and grace. Some of you are worried that God's not going to let you into heaven because you've messed up in sin, maybe in a big way, even after you've become a Christian. But you're carrying a backpack full of shame. Just lay it down. Trust what Jesus has done for you. Just strip all that stuff off and put your faith in Jesus for your salvation and run free. It's a better way. Remember, this is the regional championships. One more victory and I'd be running in the state track meet, competing for the great prize. And it was a warm day. My coach wouldn't let me take off my sweats. He was a brilliant track coach, and he had never steered me wrong. He always steered me in the right things to do. So I did what he said, even though it was uncomfortable. Some of my other teammates were kind of mocking me because I was still wearing my sweats on this kind of day, but I just heeded my coach's words. And he made me leave those sweats on until the very last second as I was getting into my starting blocks. And then when those cumbersome sweats came off, I have to tell you, I felt as light as a feather. My muscles were loose. It felt euphoric. I felt as though I could fly. And I did. It will feel great to let go of all those hindrances in your life and just run the race set before you. Run free. Now let's look again at verses 2 and 3, where he says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus-focused endurance. That's how we can get by. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He showed us how to live and endure and die. Showed us. He left the glories of heaven and he put on flesh like you and me. That way we know that he knows exactly what it's like to endure in a sin-broken world. And he just put his trust in the Lord, in the Father of heaven. He waited until he was grown, when he was of age to speak with authority, and the time was ripe. And then he launched his ministry. He endured 40 days of temptation in the desert, in the wilderness. He endured homelessness throughout his ministry, itinerant preaching, traveling here and there on foot. He had no place to lay his head. He endured homelessly. He had multitudes demanding of him, people who are swarming him all the time, weariness and fatigue, endured skeptics and critics and persecutors. His own family rejected him. He was misunderstood. He put up with the insincere followers, the gawkers, he put up with all those who sought to trap him. He saw sheep without a shepherd. All these people struggling to cling to life and faith, people who are beaten down and oppressed by evil. And he shouldered their burdens with deep compassion. His heart went out to them. And he stood up. He stood up to government and religious officials who were bent on killing him. And he withstood beatings and mockings and betrayal. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. Reviled, he held his tongue. Brutalized unjustly, he did not retaliate. He could have. He didn't. Instead, he entrusted himself to his Father in heaven. And no one can lead us to endurance better than Jesus. No one. Oh, we can be inspired by the faithful who have gone before us and set a good example, but there's really only one that we need to fix our eyes on, to focus our faith on, and that's Jesus. Jack Nicklaus and Johnny Miller are, of course, great golf legends. They played together in a ceremonial round back in 2010 to celebrate the grand opening of the golf club at Harbor Shores in Benton Harbor, Michigan. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, the course is, and they were playing host to the Senior PGA Championship that year. So Johnny Miller, with 25 PGA Tour wins, including two major championships, was playing in this preliminary round with some of the old golfing greats. Miller faced an uphill putt on the 10th hole that measured more than 100 feet to the cut. And in front of the crowd, Johnny claimed that the putt was impossible, impugning the honor of Jack Nicklaus, who had designed the course. But Nicklaus responded, saying, "You want me to show you how it's done?" "Yeah, teach me," Miller said. So Nicklaus stepped up to the ball. He stroked the ball, and it rolled on that long, curving putt, dropped into the cup with that familiar plunk. The founder and designer was vindicated. He showed him how to do it. And see, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, has shown us how to do it. He knows. He's led the way for us. Romans 15:4 explains, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. To follow the words and the example of Jesus in the Gospels if you want to endure. Let him help you. Don't fix your eyes on your preacher, by all means, because sooner or later, he's going to let you down. Don't fix your eyes on your godly grandmother or your parents or one of your elders or one of the most dedicated persons you know. That's not the place, because they can all be inspirational. But they're all flawed. They're all imperfect. Only Jesus is the perfect example. Only he can enable us. Only he is the capable leader. There's a beloved hymn that sings, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. You know, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's a great song, a great truth. Well, look what else the text says about Jesus' endurance that can help us endure. Again, in verse 2, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Outcome-aimed endurance. That's what we need, outcome-aimed. We are able to endure when we have the good end in sight. Now, the immediate future may look pretty bleak or uncertain. It may look very grim. But we confidently anticipate the ultimate outcomes with the Lord. Jesus kept his eyes on the prize. He knew what he was working towards. He knew what all this would accomplish. He withstood the worst for our salvation and his own vindication as Lord. Jesus triumphs. Triumph is our assurance of a good outcome. That victorious assurance sustains us in our present struggle, no matter what it is. So hang with Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. My mother-in-law is tearfully focused on heaven when she will be free from all the travails of her earthly body right now. She just can't wait for heaven. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 encourages, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We have a lot to look forward to. In a personal meeting, Thomas Edison told Napoleon Hill how he reacted to failure when striving to perfect the incandescent electric lamp. And as history tells, it took Edison hundreds of failed attempts before he finally triumphed. Now, the average person would have likely quit after a few attempts. Could it be that Napoleon Hill suggested, this is why there's only one Thomas Edison and so many average people? Because he had a vision of what could be. He could see what could happen, and he kept going for it. Joshua Reich writes, if you watch a great athlete, the one who wins the gold medal, holds up the trophy, or scores the winning point, you will see someone who is willing to live through the pain, hardship, and difficulty for the prize, for the accomplishment. What you don't see is the workout at 4 a.m. and the eating plan they had to put themselves through, and the saying no to nights out with friends and getting 10 hours of sleep. You don't see the 1,000 jump shots they took each day, the miles they swam or ran, or the weights they lifted beyond what they thought they could do. But they had a goal in mind, and there was nothing to deter them from that goal. When you see a couple in their 60s, laughing together and genuinely enjoying each other's presence and dearly loving each other, what you don't see are the sleepless nights where they would not go to bed angry, but instead they work through the argument. You don't see the tension of dealing with past hurt and the past baggage and bringing it all into light so that they can move forward. The hours spent holding hands and praying together, facing the tough road ahead. You don't see the hundreds and thousands of compliments they gave along the way and the little annoyances they decided to overlook instead of making a big deal about it. But they had a bigger vision in mind. I might add, if you see a successful investor or business owner who enjoys financial security. You don't see all the risks they took and the hours they put in, the sacrifices made, and the agonizing hours of dreaming and planning and research and sleep deprivation and extra miles and hoops they had to jump through and delayed gratification and investment to get to the goal. If you see a believer who seems to have this wonderful relationship with God, knowledge of the Scripture and godly wisdom, substantive relationships, joy even in trials, the character of Christ, and you envy that, but you might not see the hours of prayer, meditation, and study, and the rejected temptations, and the hard decisions, and the self-denial, and the acts of self-sacrifice, and the generosity, and the years of practice, and pain, and perseverance. With faith and vision, the eyes of Jesus, they saw what could be, and they went for it, and they stuck with it when others quit. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep following. Kerry Neal would encourage, most leaders are tempted to quit moments before their critical breakthrough. What's on the other side of the difficulty or the hardship you're facing? Very likely the breakthrough that you've been waiting for. That's why Galatians 6:9 urges, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up, if we do not give up, go for that harvest. Think about the outcome. And there's one more stimulus of endurance that will help you catch your second wind that I had really not paid much attention to previously when I've looked at the Scripture hundreds and hundreds of times, but it jumped out at me this time. Look, especially at verse 1 again, where it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I take from that together accomplished endurance. Together accomplished. When we know we're not in our struggles alone, then it can help us hang in there. You know, you hold me up when I need it, and I hold you up when you need it. I know that there's people around me who understand what I'm going through, and you know that we all understand what you're going through. When someone goes down, we run to the support, get them back up on their feet, and get them going again. When someone hangs tough, we're all encouraged, we're inspired, and we celebrate together with them. We serve one another, we pray with each other, we worship together, we remind each other of our hope in Christ, and we cheer each other on. Go! I'm so grieved to say that they're predicting 1 in 5 churches may not survive this pandemic, this year, 2020. 1 in 5. It's a lot of churches. I'm grieved to say that a record number of preachers are leaving ministry for good due to the burdens of 2020. Now, they had struggles before this, but this is the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. They just can't take the stress anymore. The leadership load, all the divisiveness and criticism that have come this year. I don't know if you know it, but many, many churches are battling within. Battling each other as a result of all the conflicts raised around this coronavirus and racism and so on. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Western Hills Church of Christ. I don't have to pull the train by myself. We have a great leadership team, and the Lord has enabled me by your prayers and by all the good work you're doing for each other that don't fall on my shoulders. We're going to come out of this on the other side with some new challenges and new ways to do things, many blessings and opportunities for which we can give thanks. We'll get there together. We'll get there together. You're not alone. Now, I have to add something. You don't want to hear this next verse. But there's one more verse that we need to call your attention to, and that's verse 4. It reminds us that things can actually get a lot worse before they get better. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You haven't even gotten there yet. It's going to get bloody. Sometimes we need a comforting pat on the back. But other times we need a good kick in the rear end. We do. Suck it up, buttercup, you know? Sometimes we need that. Jeremiah 12:5 warned, if you've raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how can you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? You know, where the terrain's tough, you know? I just want to encourage you today to keep telling the truth, even when it gets tough, even when you're ridiculed. Keep getting back up by grace when you sin. Keep telling people about Jesus even if they don't listen. Keep doing what God said to do even when, well, you seem out of touch. Keep praying even when the answer doesn't seem to come. Keep praising even when the pain is relentless and excruciating. Keep forgiving when the offender isn't repentant. And keep the door open even when the prodigal doesn't come home. Endurance is obviously one of the most important things we can cultivate in 2020. We need that in our toolbox. It's time, friends. It's time not to give up. It's not time to back off. It's not time to cower in fear. It's not time to lie down and die. It's not time to die. It's not time for our concession speech. It's not time to fold. It's not time to head for the hills. It's not time to hunker in the bunker. It's not time to hesitate and lie low. It's not time to be silent. It's not time to acquiesce, accommodate, compromise, or capitulate. It is not time to dilute, water down, or surrender. It's not time for a retreat. It's not time to go into hiding. It's not time to wave the white flag. But it is time to catch your second wind and stand tall with and for Jesus. That's how we'll make it. Blessed is the man, James says, who endures trials, because when he has passed the test, he will receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him. Today, we hope you've been stimulated and convicted to endure whatever you must face with the Lord. But if you haven't ever started a relationship with the Lord, following Him as Savior and Lord, and you'd like to know more about that, please call the number on the screen, 251-2232. I'll be glad to talk about these things with you. Now, if you're interested and able, we'd love to get to know you in person at our live worship services at Western Hills Church of Christ on Sydney Road on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. We practice social distancing protocols. We're trying to keep people safe, so come on over and join in. We have Bible studies as well, but if you can't do that, if you're not able to do that, we're going to continue our online services next Sunday with a new series entitled Make It Personal. Make It Personal. Invite someone to watch with you.